من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Today is the first day of Dhul Hijjah for us in Canada. Interestingly, it coincides with the 1st July, which is our Canada Day holiday. And this has made the Jummah a Eid for us. By looking at the presence of the people, alhamdulillah. The temptation was there to prolong the khutbah today. But don't worry about it. Ayatollah Sistani's opinion on this issue has tied my hands, because according to him, the two khutbahs and Salatul Jum'ah should not be more than 40 minutes. So you have that grace today. When we use the term Dhul Hijjah, it means this is the month of Hajj. And Hajj is a very powerful way of expressing the equality of Muslims in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective of the color of their skin, or their tribal and ethnic affiliation, their language or socioeconomic status that they would have in their own countries or in their own circles. Although these days even the Hajj itself has become a highly commercialized, process by the Saudis. So now you have packages, it is silver, gold, or platinum. I sometimes use this as a joke in the Aqd when I see the form of the Islamic contract where they have mentioned in the mahar Hajj. So I asked the groom, did you specify silver, gold, or, platinum? So anyway, but this is, the more you pay, you get the chance to live in this good hotels near the Haram, I'm told. Anyway, it actually goes against the spirit of Hajj, because the whole idea of Hajj is to create that sense of equality among Muslims on a global level. And this starts from day one. when you go to Mecca, before you, when you enter the territory of Haram, you have to be in Ihram. It's a very simple two-piece garment for the pilgrims. And by putting that Ihram, even the visible marks of distinction that we have among ourselves is gone. When you are basically doing tawaf, you are being realized that now, first time you're going into the city of Mecca, you're going to Masjid al-Haram to visit the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there you are like anyone else. At least they have not decided now that even the mataf would be divided into silver and gold and platinum, alhamdulillah. And that's where you come to realize that I am nothing but the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a very powerful symbol of that sense of knowing our true identity. We cannot get rid of our physical appearance and the differences that we have. But on a temporary level, we are told to get rid of all the external expression of our identity, our clothing, cosmetics and perfumes and jewelry and shoes. All these things are forbidden in the state of ihram. Not only that, actually, when you are going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are told to even forget your own face. Looking in the mirror is forbidden. Why is that? It's just to realize that, you know, your physical appearance doesn't mean anything. You are going in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like anyone else, and it is actually a lesson of humility that we learn in the process of Hajj. Salawat. You know, normally we address one another with respectful, you know, titles, the way we call one another in our speech or writings, and this is how we observe our protocol in addressing one another, culturally and socially, and there is nothing wrong about it. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, emphasizes this point. There were Arabs who used to come, especially the Bedouins. They would come to the Prophet's house and they would shout from outside, Ya Muhammad ukhruj, O Muhammad, come out. As if, you know, they're talking to one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't like this attitude. And so the ayat came, even in Surah Nur, there is an ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجْعَلُ دُعَاءَ الرَّسُولِ بَيْنَكُمْ كَدُعَاءِ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. One tafsir of this ayat is that don't call the Prophet the way you call one another. And this is where then Muslims started calling him Ya Rasulullah or Ya Nabi Allah. Even Bibi Fatima al-Zahra started doing the same thing. She would call her father, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabiullah. And the Prophet one day called her and said, you know, I really feel very sad because there have been many days now I have not heard the words, Ya Abata. And she said, well, this ayat came, everybody is calling you with your title. He said, that's not for you. I still long to hear the words, you know, Ya Abata from you. Salawat Pranik Barah. And so we might have, you know, many, many titles or many alphabets after our name. People show that protocol, you know. And it's a reminder, especially for people like me. You know, I have a reserved spot for parking. Even if you come late, I don't have to worry about it. I have my own garb here. But in Hajj, everything is gone. And that's where you are reminded that remember the truth. Essence of you is nothing but being the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we respect one another quite a lot. We use appropriate titles to call one another, and as I said, that's not wrong. But do not forget the reality that the last time our brethren will address us when we are in our coffin, they will not use our titles. They will not describe the degrees or the positions that we have. What will be the statement there after the fourth and fourth takbir in namaz janaza? Allahumma inna hadha abduka wa abna abdik. Or for women, Allahumma inna hadhihi amatika wa abnatu amatik. That, oh Allah, this is your servant, son of your servant. No name is mentioned, no titles, nothing. And that is the essence of a true, you know, Muslim, when we realize that we are nothing but the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'di Shirazi, the famous, you know, Persian poet, in his poetry he has promoted many, many good, you know, moral and akhlaqi values. In one where he talks about the issue of inkisari and humility, he uses a very interesting example of a raindrop, you know, where he says, یکی قطره باران ز ابری چکید. That you know, one raindrop separated from the cloud. You know, the rain comes from the cloud. So it's separated. But during that short journey from the cloud to the earth, you know, that one drop thought, oh, I'm something. You know, arrogance comes up there, distinction. Until it reached, خجل شد چون پهنای دریا بدید. And it became humiliated when it came close to the ocean and realized, I'm in just one drop in this ocean of water down. And that sense of humility comes when we go for tawaf. We might have all these ideas about ourselves, but in tawaf you come to realize that I'm just one drop in the ocean of humanity which is serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat alayhi wa sallam. And so let us use this spirit of the month of Dhul-Hijjah as a lesson of equality and respect for one another, and let us, you know, kill that disease of arrogance that we have within ourselves. In ahsan al-hadith kitab Allah al-aziz, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, wal-asr inna l-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu as-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العطوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. The first of Dhul Hijjah also is the anniversary of the marriage of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima Zahra صلوات الله عليه. And since it's also coinciding with a national holiday, mashallah, from last night till Sunday, we have many, many, you know, weddings going on one after another. Some of them I had to decline that I cannot attend. And that is because people would like to seek that blessing of that special day of the marriage of Ali and Fatima. Let me just talk about one aspect of it as a lesson for ourselves. One of the essential conditions of marriage is mahr. If mahr is not part of the aqd, then the aqd is not valid. So it is very, very crucial and essential part. And the mahr of Bibi Fatima Zahra was 500 dirhams. Dirhams, those days we are talking about silver coins. And when Amir al-Mu'mineen came with the proposal, you know, there were other proposals before where Rasulullah said, I don't decide, Allah will decide that. He was waiting for somebody. And finally, Amir al-Mu'mineen came. And the Prophet asked Ali, what do you have for mahr? This is the very early second year after Hijrah where Amir al-Mu'mineen is a muhajir. Doesn't have much, you know, economic strength in that way. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen said, I have only three worldly possessions with me. I have a camel, which I use for watering the palm orchards where I work for others. And that is my means of earning. And I have a sword. And I have an armor, you know, the zirah, to protect myself in jihad. And the Prophet actually, you know, even his answer is very important for us. He says, you know, as far as the camel is concerned, you need that because that is your means of livelihood. This is how you are earning. And as far as the sword is concerned, Islam needs that. Because you use your sword in the service of Islam. And so you are left with this armor, the zirah that you have, and I'll ask you to sell that and bring the mahar from that. Remember the zirah or the armor of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, people used to have different kinds of armor. The coat of nails those days that they used to wear. But the one Amir al-Mu'mineen had was only from the front. Because Ali never backed, you know, showed his back to the enemy. He wasn't among those who would run away. So he never was worried about his backside. Because whenever he goes to confront the enemy, he's just there fighting directly. And so he sold it and he brought 500 dirham, which was the mahar Rasulullah had fixed for Fatima al-Zahra. And he gave that 500 dirhams, and this is the important point for us. It has been 1400 years, but we have not yet learned the sunnah. Ali brought the mahar and gave it in advance to Rasulullah. Rasulullah used part of that mahar, 500 dirhams, and called Bilal and Ammar and some other companions, and he said, you go and buy the jahiz for Fatima al-Zahra. Now jahiz means, you know, the basic, you know, necessities of life. They went and used that money. And this is very different from the culture that we see, especially among the South Asian Muslims in general, even Shias. This is influence of the Hindu tradition there, because when the marriage comes, you know, is about to happen, you know, the groom's family have a long list of what they want, mashallah. And it's there even now, although in India it is now illegal, but making something illegal is one thing, and to see whether it is being enforced, that's something else. And this is also among Muslims, even among the Shias. You know, and this is where sometimes I hear very, it makes me laugh when I hear, say, well, Maulana, we told the other family, we don't want anything from you. But Rasulullah provided at least the bedding for Fatima al-Zahra. So at least we should have a bed set. You know, so even the request now has been formed with the sunnah of Rasulullah. They are being selective in looking at the sunnah. They don't see that the bedding or the other items that Rasulullah gave to Fatima al-Zahra came from the advance mahar that Ali had paid. You go and give that advance mahar to the other party and then say, okay, prepare the jahiz. This was solve many, many social problems that we have in this whole process of marriage. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, we can't just be selective in what we are doing. MashaAllah, at the time of paying the, writing the amount for the mahar, people say, oh, Maulana, what is mahar sunnah or mahar fatimi? In all other things in the marriage before and after, and before the Mawlana comes and after the Mawlana leaves, nobody says, is it sunnah, is it haram, it is haram, what we do? Only when the amount of mahar comes up, you remember the sunnah of Fatima salawatullah alayha. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, if you look at the amount, 500 silver coins, you know, each coin those days were 2.5 gram in weight. And so you have about, the total would be about 1.25 kilo of silver. The current value of that in Canadian terms for today would be around $1,000. You know, so just to give us the understanding that when we talk about the sunnah of Rasulullah, you know, be true to that sunnah and try to implement in the full manner. You know, don't be just selective wherever you see that there is advantage for you. Then you say, oh, this is sunnah of Rasulullah, and other part of it you just ignore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi wa sallam. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين بالشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة ابن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان محيا صار البدء والتقيان حادم أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فر البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وسهل مخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.